As I'm teaching and preaching through the book of James, we're also looking at Proverbs each week. And part of the reason is James is sort of considered one of those wisdom texts of the New Testament, the Proverbs of the New Testament, and they really do go hand in hand. But it's also a good reminder for us that we can go into God's Word daily and we can find some gems, some jewels, some tidbits that are going to help us just through practical life. And in the book of Proverbs, if you just read one chapter each day, there's conveniently 31 chapters, and most months don't have any more than 31 days in them, so you could read a proverb a day, and just chapter 1, chapter 2. Today's the 16th, so that's why we're in Proverbs 16. There's no penalty if you read ahead, though, so you can always read more than one chapter of Proverbs. Another one I like to do sometimes, just as an aside, is in the book of Psalms, 150 chapters in Psalms, so you could read 5 Psalms a day and get through the book of Psalms every month as well. So another good place to turn for wisdom literature. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Proverbs 16, as I read this, be looking at and thinking about some things that may jump off the page at you, things that you've learned in life, some potential tidbits that you can share with the congregation. And I've got a recording on now, but during that sharing time, I'll turn the recorder off so that you can feel free to share whatever you'd like. And many times as we look through the Proverbs, you'll find something that has sparked a memory about something God's done in your life or something you wished He'd done in your life and you didn't get it because you weren't paying attention, like Solomon's son sometimes didn't pay attention. Proverbs chapter 16, starting with verse 1. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, He causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. The lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth does not betray justice. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of His making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. The highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Prudence is a fountain of life to the prudent, but folly brings punishment to fools. The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. A scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. Whoever winks with their eye is plotting perversity. Whoever purses their lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I'm going to turn with me to James, James chapter 1. We're still pretty early in this study, and I don't know how long it's going to take. I've taken a different tack. Sometimes when I'm planning out a book, I choose all of the passages ahead of time, and then I force myself to complete what I'd chosen previously. And that's one way to approach a book. There are units within each book that seem to hold well together. But there's also a lot of flow, and so I want to take my time with James this time. I don't know if any of you remembered when Kathy and I first came here back in 2011. James was one of the early books that I taught on, and we went through it in just a few short weeks. It's going to take longer this time. There's more in here than I was able to share the first time, and I'm hoping that we can take it as a unit. We don't take it out of context and lose the continuity, but we can still kind of dig a little bit deeper. One of my pleasures with Bible study is not rushing it. Sometimes it's good to take time and meditate on just smaller portions. Starting back at the beginning, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're following along in the Green Pew Bibles, we're on page 1843. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Here's a leader of the Jerusalem church. There's a lot of persecution going on. Many of the Christians, new believers that were Jewish in Jerusalem, fled because of the persecution. Timothy had been stoned to death. Others were having their lives threatened. And they just kind of left and disappeared. They were refugees running for safe places. And James, as the leader of the Jerusalem church, is concerned about these people that are spread throughout the known earth at that time. And he's sending a letter out. And I don't know how it got dispersed and how all of them were able to get to it. But he's sending them some wisdom, some comfort, some ways to deal with the trials and troubles that they're facing. And so the next thing out of his pen, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 17, we didn't read that today, but in Proverbs 17 it talks about the crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but God tests the heart. And one of the ways God tests our heart is he watches how we react and handle troubles and trials and problems that come our way. He does promise us, Jesus promised us when he was here on earth, that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, he's overcome the world. So if we realize that, yeah, there's going to be trouble, but God's got that covered too. Whatever the trouble is, this too will pass, and he's going to make everything right. And so we can keep turning to him. And so James is sending this word of encouragement to all of his people that are scattered, because they know that even the trials and troubles are going to help them produce perseverance, patience, forbearance. Let perseverance finish its work. Now, I think that's probably for most of us. We have a trial or a tribulation. We don't first think, wow, opportunity, growth, yay. And yet that's something that if we fight it, if all of our prayers and our efforts are to try to stop the trouble in our lives rather than learn from and work through the trouble in our lives, we don't gain that perseverance. It hasn't completed its work. And if it finishes its work, then we can be mature. We can be complete. And it says, not lacking anything. Most of us would probably like to be described like that. Mature, complete, not lacking anything. And one of the things that James obviously knows that people are going to lack, and it's like you're going through troubles and you don't know what to do, and so you're fighting the trouble rather than trying to turn it over to God and find out what God is doing. He says, if you lack wisdom, you're facing trials, you might not know why. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And again, I'll just point out that, you know, James is the half-brother of Jesus. He was not a good brother. James would get on his brother's case. Now, we got a couple really close brothers in the front pew here. They never would have trouble with one another.
Not as close,
you know,
as it looks.
But can you imagine if the older brother is basically claiming to be God? Little brother's not going to be happy with that. He's been trying to convince him of that. So little brother's not happy with that. And in fact, when Jesus is out teaching and preaching, his mom and his brothers come and they try to get Jesus to come out of the house. Come on home. We've got to save you from yourself. You're being crazy. And they just don't have much faith in him. And then when they go to, you know, James was a religious person when he was growing up. He wasn't a bad person, but he'd ready to go to Passover, and that's the right time for everybody to go. And he and his brothers tease Jesus about, if you really want to be well known, you should go there and perform all your miracles in front of everybody, and then you can get notoriety. And Jesus was saying, no, that's not the way things are going to happen. But it says in Scripture the reason that they did that to Jesus was because they didn't believe. Now here's James writing that he's a servant of Jesus Christ. He's also writing that when Jesus comes to you, he's not the typical brother that says, I told you so. He's the brother that doesn't find fault. And he's going to give wisdom generously. He'll share the wisdom that you need. And he's not going to hold back. And he gives liberally, generously, without finding fault. And I think that's huge. Because that's a tendency, I think, of most of us. Yeah, we're willing to share wisdom with somebody. Yeah, you should have listened to me last time I told you this, but I'll tell you again, you bonehead. And we kind of have that mentality sometimes when we're trying to help people, quote unquote. If we want to help them like Jesus helps them, doesn't matter if they come to you 1,000 times. Give generously without finding fault. Don't hold a record of wrongs. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't hold a record of wrongs. If we want to have God's love, we approach people without that mental thing that we're ready to pull out if there's a problem. It's like, well, but do you remember? None of us would ever do that, right? So, verse 6. But when you ask for wisdom, you must believe and not doubt. You need to have faith. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So that was the last few weeks. And now we come to this week's passage. And I think I'll just read through 9, 10, and 11, and then we'll make some comments about them. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Going back to verse 9, that believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. James has not changed the topic here. It sounds like it sometimes that he's going from topic to topic, and yet he's still covering this whole concept of pure joy in trials. And he's pointing out a couple of the trials that each one of us faces, one way or another, maybe both ways. Is there's going to be the trial of not having enough, the trial of poverty, the trial of being in humble circumstances, the trial of everybody around you, not just thinking they're better than you, but you know it too, that they're better than you. Okay? And he says that those people in their humble position should take pride in their high position. Well, what high position is that? Well, if we're suffering with Christ, and he's writing to these dispersed Christians, these Jews that had left Jerusalem because they weren't accepted in the synagogue or the temple, and they were sent away throughout the world, and they're not really being accepted in the other churches because they're Jewish, and they're not being accepted. You know, they're just kind of these people without a home, and they're suffering for the name of Jesus. And in doing that, they've taken on the identity of Jesus Christ, and that's the high position that they can face. Believers in humble circumstances, those that never seem to have anything, they've got more month than they have paycheck. And things don't always go right, and it seems like, you know, even if they start to get ahead a little bit, something will break down, and it's going to cost more than what they had set aside that they were hoping to do something else with. And you just like you're treading water and barely keeping your head afloat. And those people in humble circumstances, James is giving the admonishment, the encouragement to take pride in their high position. Recognize that as a child of God, your dad owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You've got more resources than you realize. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're a holy and anointed one. You can put on that robe of righteousness, and the Father that created all things, Jesus that made the universe, can look at you and say, that's my son, that's my daughter, this is my child. We are one. And that's the high position we have. If you're a child of the King, you have a right to a lot of things. When you're a child of the King of all kings, no matter how humble your circumstances, you can take pride in your high position. Not the kind of pride where you go and flaunt it in people's faces, but just realize, you know, take comfort. You're not as downtrodden as you believe you are. Sometimes we need to hear that word. And then sometimes things are going so well and everything's good, and there's warnings in the Old Testament about when everything's going well, when you have plenty of food in the barns, and when you have lots of crops, and when everything is smooth, remember Jesus, remember God. Don't fall away. There's a temptation for us when we think everything's going well to think, yeah, we did this. And so the rich, they really shouldn't take pride in their riches. And then, obvious reason, I mean, if you look at the stock market, sometimes you may think you're wealthy and then something crashes and now all of a sudden what you thought you had isn't there anymore. And so, well, yeah, but you can always trust in real estate, right? Well, we saw that real estate slump that took a lot. And it doesn't matter. You know, on earth here, whatever we think we've acquired, it can be gone like that. But this isn't talking about our stuff. It's talking about us. The rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. The they that's referring to is the rich. Isaiah talks about it. Peter talks about it. There's a number of places in Scripture where it compares man to just a breath or to a fading grass, something that's there and then gone. And we all know somebody that's been there and then they've been gone. And a lot of the people around us, we don't know, are they going to be gone tomorrow? How long do we get to hold on to our loved ones, our friends? Life is short. Even for the 105-year-old, life is short. You know, when you're 20 and you look at that, it's like, oh, wow, you're 30, you're really old, you know. And when we were in elementary school, everybody seemed old. And yet, the 80-year-old, the 90-year-old, the 100-year-old, that's just a breath. This is just a short, short time in all of history. And if you're going to live for eternity, which I believe we all are, life is not much. This little time here on earth, it's pretty short. And we really don't have a lot of control over when it's done. Some of the people that you look at in history that worked hard and exercised and ate right, and Yul Gibbons died running. I mean, it's like, you know, you've got people that do everything right and they still die at a younger age sometimes. Some people do everything wrong and they look like they're living a long time, but that's still just a short, short time. They'll pass away like a flower. Flowers are beautiful for time. And then he just, in case you didn't get it the first time, he points out for the rich, he says, the sun rises with the scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away. Not just their stuff. The rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. We were joking with a pastor and his wife down in Rockaway Beach. We were there and lamenting a little bit about not being able to be in Skycomish during a time where a lot of people were in need. And Sam kind of laughs. He says, yeah, how's God going to handle it when we're on vacation, you know? I think God's got it covered one way or another. We think too highly of ourselves in a lot of ways. We can even do that in family and friends, thinking that they couldn't possibly get along without us. And they can. And they will. I love having each other. And yet there's a time when we don't have each other that we still have God. And that's what all three of these verses is pointing to. It doesn't matter how poor your circumstances are. It doesn't matter how rich your circumstances are. You could have all the best friends in the world and all the stuff and all the glory and people are praising you. There's another passage in Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 27, 23 or something. I'm not sure. The verse might be wrong, but it's in Proverbs 27. It starts the same as the Proverbs 17 verse I quoted. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. And I don't remember what translation it was that I learned it in, because it's a little bit different in different translations, but man is tested by the praise he receives. When we have everything going for us, do we take the glory or do we give the glory to God? Do we recognize that nothing good comes to us without God giving it? And Pastor James is sending all of this excellent wisdom to his family, his friends that are scattered abroad throughout the world, suffering, persecuted. Things aren't going well in their lives. And he's telling them, count it pure joy when you face trials. And if things are going well for you, that's great, but don't take pride in that. If things are going poorly for you, think about your high position. Because really, our position here on earth, our position in life is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. What really matters is our position with our Savior, our position with God, our position with the Father. If we're not seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, then we're in the wrong place. If we're putting our faith and trust in our own abilities and in our own understanding and in our own stuff, our own things that we've accumulated over the years, all of that's going to pass, and we're going to pass. Where are we then? So James is saying, get your priorities right. It's not about this earth. It's not about this stuff. It's about God. It's about turning to Him. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You for Your word. Help us to heed Your word and to learn from it and to lean heavily on You. I'm so glad that we can pray in Your holy name, Jesus. I'm glad that we get to be comforted by You and loved by You in a very real and a tangible way. And I pray that we can be that person that demonstrates your love to the world. Each of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.